Welcome to Radical Remembering with psychologist Dr. Narissa Williams. This is a weekly conversation where we explore ways we've internalized oppression and consider what it really means to live liberated. Each episode would leave you with intimate knowledge of the liberation process, sprinkle a little healing magic, and leave you with wisdom for your journey. As you get settled in for today's episode, please make sure to like and subscribe. And if you've liked what you heard at the end, please share. Welcome to another episode of Radical Remembering. We have Stacey Ann Forrester here with us. Welcome, Stacey Ann.
Hi, Dr. Narissa. Good to be here.
Thank you. So do you mind sharing? I know you have such a diverse background, and I know that you are an astrologer right now. Would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I was trained as a scientist, a biomedical scientist. So that's what I have my master's in. I also studied nutritional sciences, and I spent most of my working career in global health and international development. And that's where I thought I would be for the rest of my career. But life happens, and astrology, I rediscovered my connection to astrology because I've always, always had a connection with it, but never thought it would be a career. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Yeah. So one of the reasons why I invited you on, well, one, I think we can go down many avenues. I love astrology. I love thinking about how astrology, in my opinion, brings you like into right relationship with yourself, because once you start realizing, oh, you know what I mean? Like this is the reason why I have this challenge, and this challenge is because I have these energies or whatever. So I love astrology for those reasons.
Yeah. And like to, it's a good mirror.
Yeah.
It's a great mirror to really see yourself and to separate the aspects of self that, you know, were put on you by other people, by society, versus, you know, a more pure and, I hate that word, but because is it really?
Right.
Because we are still made up of our environment, how we were raised. And so that still gets in there. But it is definitely a good mirror to better understand yourself. So it's a great tool for self-awareness. Absolutely.
Good. So I'll definitely want to talk about that too, still a little bit more later. But another reason that I invited you is because I'm so intrigued by your independent lifestyle, your location independent lifestyle. And so I met Stacey Ann more than 6 months ago. And you were in Bali, living in Bali at the time. And I was like, whoa, wow. Right. And so you're someplace different now. So you're location independent. And we're not having this conversation because we think everyone should be location independent and those kinds of things. But I love the willingness and the actual action of just moving away from how we're socialized to be, which is safety, security, being attached to a land space and what have you. So can you share a little bit about that journey with us?
Absolutely. And it is a journey, right? And I would be the first person to say that I love security too. I love structure. I did the path that most people would think, wow, you got it made. Like, why would you ever want to change? Like, you know, I went to university, I got my degrees, and, you know, I had a good lifestyle in Northern California. However, I wanted more. I definitely wanted more. So I say that to say that I get that, and I'm still working through what that different way will look like for me, and always trying to be more and more authentic to myself, but it's never done for me, because definitely I think there's more in society that supports being like everyone else or being safe and secure. And I get it, because like life is very scary sometimes. So in terms of my journey, I've always wanted to live a life where I lived half the time in the US, half the time somewhere abroad. Like I said before, I spent most of my career in global health and international development, and I thought that career would be the way that I would get that lifestyle. But it didn't quite work out that way for me for many different reasons. So I've had to choose this life consciously. It just didn't happen. I had to make it happen for myself, and I'm so glad that I did. And so back in 2020, during the pandemic, we're all, shut in our apartments and homes, and I had the ability to reassess how life is going for me. I was also having really strong transits of Pluto. So if you know anything about astrology, Pluto's all about transformation. And it's a once in a lifetime transit to my sun, and anyone who has sun in Capricorn like I do have been going through that. And so look, life was telling me something major has to change. And there are other transits too that are happening in my chart that also indicated, yeah, something big has to change here for you. And astrology just helps you understand what that is, so you could have information to make those choices instead of letting life just kind of happen. So 2020, I was able to connect with various different communities that are like expats, mostly Westerners living abroad, or digital nomads, people who are working and traveling. And I saw what they were doing, and it was like, okay, this is possible. There are people doing it, and there are people doing it in like the scariest moment in recent global history, right? So it was very inspiring to see that happening. And I just educated myself about what they were doing and how, and made a decision that it was something that I wanted to actually do. And I made a plan to do it, but it wasn't until March 2022 that I actually did it. So I've been traveling now for 2 years and working. So mostly because people really ask me, so what are you doing? So I've had my astrology business for 6 years now. So when I had my full-time regular job, I started my business on the side in 2018. And I did get it to a place where I'm like, okay, I think this could support me. And so the intention in 2022, when I first took off, was to, put myself in my business full time and really go for it and really take a big risk and also travel. Love travel. I've never gotten to do travel quite in this way, but I have lived abroad before. I lived abroad in Quito, Ecuador, in 2009, 2010. So I knew it was something that I could do. I always say travel is like the easy part for me. Now, my big learnings come through my business and developing my business. And, we all have the things in our life that is challenging, and being aware of like what that is for you is a great way to engage it. So that's my journey so far. And now I'm in Istanbul, Turkey.
Oh, wow. Nice. I love it. So many questions. Okay. So when you had this first inspiration, right? So you're seeing the digital nomads, whatever, you had this first inspiration. There were still is your family in Northern California? Like, did you have like your family base there, or were they elsewhere?
No, and and that's also a big piece of why it was an easier choice for me and my personality. My family, they're based in New York, Long Island. That's where I grew
Oh,
up.
me
And
too.
I've lived in California and then Washington, D.C. area. So I've always lived away from my family. And
Okay.
so I don't have that kind of familial structure where like I would feel really sad if,
Yeah.
I didn't see my family every day. I know that's an issue for a lot of people, but it wasn't for me,
And
because I just tend to
yeah.
live away from that family of origin.
Were you born in the US?
No, I'm Jamaican.
Okay, I thought so too. And because I think that has something to do with it too, in terms of when I studied abroad when I was like in undergrad, it was radical in the sense that I didn't have an example when I studied in Ghana, right? It was radical in the sense that I didn't have an example. No one else I knew was doing this in their undergraduate program or I saw a poster on a board and I followed it. But I do know what helped, what lent itself to me was the fact that very, very few of my family from Trinidad was right here in the US, right? And so there was this, this ability to be like we've been disconnected, and so this ability to go and come and to go and come that lent itself to me as well.
And I don't know if you felt this traveling or maybe your time in Ghana, but there's something about when you were born somewhere else. I call it like a third culture kid. Like if you're born somewhere else, but then you grow up and you live in another country. And then when you travel, it's like I feel more American when I travel than when I'm actually living in the States. And I've spoken to other people who come from other cultures, and they've had the similar experience. So it does make it easy, but I do see my edges and where, wow, I am truly for good or bad, I'm truly like raised in that Western culture, and you can't leave that behind.
I did have that experience because I very much, even though I was born here in the US, right, but grew up in Flatbush, which was very Trini, very Caribbean, and then before moving to Long Island. And I was so immersed in the culture that you asked me, I'm Trinidadian, what? And it wasn't until that I went to Ghana that I was like, I'm very American. I'm very, very American. And then I embrace more of a hybrid identity that I'm a Trinidadian American. Because both are true, both are true. But yeah, it was when I travel that I'm like, oh, this, in all the
And
ways.
how do you, and I feel like I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm so grateful that I wasn't, born in the US. Like I have a wider perspective on things, and maybe you do too, because of being raised in a Trini family. Like I'm so grateful. I'm so glad that's how life turned out for me, because there's a space that I like to be, and that's kind of as an outsider. It's very much part of my identity, and as I travel, I'm definitely an outsider to these countries and cultures that I find myself in, and it's been interesting because that identity could also be a bit negative, and the shadow aspect of that too. But I'm just in a time of my life where I've been embracing that identity of the outsider. It's
I
been
do,
wonderful.
I have, I do have that experience of feeling like the outsider. Sorry, my mind is going a few. I do have that experience of feeling like the outsider. One caveat to it though is what it is to have been born in America, because so you have like you can say like, well, I was born in Jamaica, right? So when you go home, yeah, they still look at you and say, oh, you're Jamaican or you're a Yankee or whatever, but you were born there, so I am Jamaican, right? So but there is something that happens when you are born here outside of your culture, like you're really dismissed as like you're American. Even my grandma, my not my grandmother, my mother definitely looks at me and my sister like y'all are American. And I'm like, how could I be like, how could I ever be fully any one thing when I was very much like my first music was so good. My first, you know what I mean? All those kinds of things. So my relationship with being an outsider, yes, it's something that I embrace because it has helped me to develop a critical lens through which I experience the world, and that like as you're saying, for better or for worse, right? So I can see things in a different ways, having been from the outside. My personality as an introvert lends itself to that as well. And so that the shadow aspect of that has been, I'm trying to think, is it over? I think I'm still working through it in certain aspects of my life, like of just being totally okay, like particularly with my relationship with my ancestors. I had this conversation with them and they were like, we were always traveling. Like we were always traveling. We went from here to here to here to here. And that experience has always been our way. You know what I mean? And so, right? And so that, what am I trying to say? Yet and still, like doing that root chakra kind of work for myself to feel more grounded helps me feel. I'm not saying anything really meaningful right now, but what
No,
I'm trying to say.
you so are, and I'm trying my best not to, because when I get excited, I interrupt, and so I'm holding myself back, like, because I want you to finish your sentence and your thought. But what sparked in me was around, like, I know, like, in my bones that there was someone like me in my ancestry. I don't know their name. I can't ask my mom or dad about, because, like, they don't know. Like,
If you enjoy listening to Radical Remembering and would love to get the season dropped before everyone else, if you want exclusive invites to live and virtual events and could benefit from daily liberation inspiration, like affirmations, thought-provoking questions, and daily guidance, then download our free app, Living Liberated, in the App Store or on Google Play. You can also find the link below in the description box.
but it's like, I know I'm not the first, but it is a bit lonely when you kind of, like, look around at, like, your family that is currently around. And I know somewhere back in the line, or maybe even more recent, it's just I don't have the connection that you have yet. But that's part of what I hope to reclaim in the future, like, that connection with the person that was like me and, like, totally gets what I'm doing. My family does not get, like, when
Imagine.
you immigrate to a different country, you're leaving for a reason. And so to leave the state, even, like, I'm not leaving permanently or anything, but still, I think it's still like, why would you want to do that? But I know that there was someone like me, and they're somewhere around, but I can't really.
You know what I found out in somewhere in the last 5 years or so. So I have a great 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 I don't know how many greats grandmother, right? And so even in my recent ancestry, there has been movement, right? In the sense that there was a lot of people in Grenada that, and on both of my sides, lineages, mother, maternal and paternal, that ended up in Trinidad, right? And there were some people in my lineage also who were in America, fought in the War of 1812, and when they got their independence, they went to Trinidad, right? There were also people, but there's this one particular grandmother that I think of as, when I'm hearing you saying that there's this one. She didn't, she moved, she went to Grenada as a dancer. So she wasn't even enslaved. She went by choice to be as a dancer. The other part of that is still like, oh, but you were still dancing for Europeans, ill, right? But she went by choice to come, you know what I mean? And she was in, oh my God, why am I forgetting the name of the island off of Grenada right now? Starts with a C, whatever. So she,
Cuba?
not Cuba, carrot, not carrot. Wait, hold on. I don't know why it's escaping me.
Carico, but not Carico. It's like
It's not
the
Caracou.
French
It's not
shape.
Caracou.
Shape.
Maybe it's Caracou, I think. I don't know. So y'all, whoever's listening.
It's French.
So yeah, it's not that big island, but it's the small one off of Grenada. And so she was there and she was a dancer. And from there, when, you know, across some generations, they ended up moving in Grenada, right? So even that, right? So to pick up and to say, I want to go and dance. So we don't know our histories. A lot is not carried over. I'm glad that one was carried over. I mean, I don't, it's on my father's side and I don't know them as well. Somehow it got to me, and I value that story and that grandmother.
And the stories are important. It's important, just connecting to the thread around the identity of being the outsider, but the outsider that also wants to belong, and belonging is important, and
That's the
community
word,
is
belonging.
still super important to me. Even though I am very independent, I want to serve a community in that sense too. So having those stories, be okay, like, it just creates a belonging. Like, oh yeah, you too fit here, even if there aren't any recent examples of your kind of story. So yeah, like, that's amazing that you do have that. And the key word that you said there was choice. Choice. And I think a lot of times our stories, and not just as Black people, but other peoples, like they, usually you're leaving a place maybe because of war or poverty. Like you're leaving something horrific, right? But to move to like to leave for a choice or something positive, I think it's those stories we like I want to reconnect to that. It's not it doesn't always have to be because of something negative or bad happened. So you're choosing to like to go somewhere else or leave or so yeah. That the positivity around, yeah, it's just a choice. And like any other choice, you can stay. It's still a choice, and that's okay too. It's yeah.
So how do you fulfill, are you traveling solo or are you traveling with someone? Solo.
Solo.
How do you feel your community needs or your social needs? You just make friends or like what do you do?
Yeah, so that is a big piece of my travel experience, having to focus on that a lot more. You take it for granted when you go to work every day at a job with people that's a community or you have family. So I do have to work harder because I am a solo traveler to make new friends everywhere I show up to. What's been helpful recently is I joined co-working spaces. And usually there's a local community around those co-working spaces. Like this morning, I went to work at a place called Impact Hub, and they're global co-working space and really connected to whatever city they're in, the business development that impacts, for good social mission-driven businesses. And so I went there this morning and I connected to some local people. Or there's a lot of I tend to stick to big cities if I can. It's just a little bit easier. I think, in my experience, beach towns or smaller towns tend to be quieter, not a lot going for it. So it's a harder to, especially if you don't know the language, to connect. And I do also connect with a lot of other Westerners who are traveling. I do a lot of Airbnb experiences that have me like touring the city, and then I meet travelers who are participating in that tour as well. But I do have to work at it. Like it just doesn't happen. And so that's like 50% of the work is like me making connections wherever I go and
Interesting.
doing my best to stay connected to the people that I previously connected with. And that's another thing that's also it's challenging. It's not easy, but I enjoy it. I enjoy every new opportunity to be around someone who's new and different and unlike me.
I love it. It because so because you strike you don't strike me as like an extrovert, someone who's just like out
Oh
there.
no.
Okay,
No.
so if you
I'm very introverted. Yeah. But I would say that I like people. That's what I have to say this because I found out within the last like 3 years that some people think introversion means you hate people, which was never something I thought, but it kept happening over and over where people would say like, "Oh, I'm introverted, but I like people." I'm like, "Oh, maybe I need to start saying that too because I do. It's just I also like it's the scientist in me that likes to observe culture and people and communication. And so there's a lot of like thinking about my experiences, and that makes me a little bit more internal. But I definitely enjoy connecting with people. So yeah, but I don't think it's introversion doesn't make it harder for me. I think what makes it harder is language.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Especially if I'm in a community where I don't really see a ton of other Westerners and it's just local people. Like the neighborhood I'm in now, It's a very local neighborhood. It's very cool, very Brooklyn-like, by the way.
Really nice.
And just lots of good people watching, lots of really cool young people around, but I just can't communicate as easily.
Right.
I think some people do know English as well, but I think the language is more the barrier than actually being introverted or
Right.
shy.
Right.
Yeah, like I'm a different person traveling than what I am, when I'm, back in the US.
And I asked about introversion because, so I think you're right that people have a misconception about what introversion is. Introversion really speaks to where you get your energy. I get my energy. I am charged when I have these quiet moments to myself, when I, like you said, you're thinking about the experience, about, all those things. And so the introvert is also more sensitive to their environment, so they are more stimulated in a way that's different from an extrovert. Or, I mean, and it's also a spectrum because we could be more ambivert, which is like kind of in between both of them. But their introverts are actually, believe it or not, there are studies that have tested different kinds of stimuli, even like lemon drops. Lemon drops, the introvert is more likely to be like, and to have like that kind of response to it than an extrovert because they're more sensitive to stimuli. And so that goes also for social surroundings and people in those social surroundings. And so for an introvert enjoys deeper, richer connection and is more, it's more stressful to have small talk. You know what I mean? So I was thinking about that, but also from this great book I read called Platonic by Dr. Marissa Franco that talks about friendships and stuff like that. She talks about, where people are likely, actually, I just think this was probably in one of her newsletters, where people are likely to meet people. And it's just like this, like in traveling, because you're meeting people at very specific transition points. And so there is a depth that you drop into quicker than if you were at the bus station in Brooklyn somewhere, you know?
Absolutely.
So I could see thinking, seeing it through your lens, how you just painted it. I can see how that would be true and not as much of a challenge because we're having the meaningful conversations.
And I think people are open to having those meaningful conversations if they know, like, oh, wait, maybe I would never see this person
Yeah.
again ever. So
Sure.
let me drop my guard down, let me be real, have a connection. And people are looking for that, because then, it just, I don't like when I feel connected to a place, it's not because of like any monument I see or like the sights or I probably lead the most boring travel lifestyle, because my thing is just about the people and
Yeah.
having the small talk. And it's like, it's not about all the things that you could do. Like I've been in some places where I tell people, like, you probably on your 5-day vacation will probably see more than I did because of, like, I'm balancing work as well.
Yeah.
But also, I just never that kind of person, that kind of traveler. Like,
Yeah.
I'll do a few things, a few excursions, but I'm just like, what if I was born here in this country, in this city? How, like, and it's not 100%, but I try to have like a normal experience as possible. So I just like the day to day,
Yeah.
the CEV, going to a cafe,
Yeah.
like going grocery shop, like just very boring.
So how do you choose? By the way, my husband and I like to travel like that. We get rental cars, we drive, as opposed to doing, there's some things we'll do with a tour, right? And I probably wouldn't get a rental car if it was just me, but because it's the both of us and sometimes with the kids too, that we would get a car. But how do you choose where you're going? Are you mapping this out well in advance? Or are you like, you got this notion, like, you know what? It's time. And then you get ready to move on.
So it started off that way, maybe my first year, just to like, I'm a planner. I spend most of my other career more of like a project manager, and so just planning things, managing. So I did that for maybe my first year. Like, I knew I was going to start off in Mexico. I know I was going to go to Colombia and then Peru. But after that, it just kind of was like, where else is calling to me? It's a little bit looser now. So there's that. And then there's also the logistics of because I'm still traveling via a tourist visa. So
Okay.
logistically, where can I stay that I could slowly travel? So like for Americans, the Schengen, like Europe and the Schengen zone is a bit harder because you only get, I say only, which it sounds like a lot of time for some people, but you get 90 days. And so you have to kind of travel quickly, and maybe you can't do as much because, you're trying to be within that limit. And so, it just.
Liberation is 100% about being in right relationship with our power. It's so easy from day to day to disconnect from our source and forget who we really are. On our app, Living Liberated, we have the tools to keep you plugged in. You'll find a library of affirmations, guided meditations, guided journeys, and tapping sequences to keep you in a state of alignment with who you really are. Topics range from self-love, healthy relationships, activating our DNA, to guided journeys with your ancestors. Download our free app, Living Liberated, and start your free 7-day trial now in the App Store or Google Play. You can also find the link for Plugged in the description box below.
It's loose, but also logistically making sure I'm following all the visa requirements and rules properly, all that stuff. So right now I have a vague sense that I'm going to head back to South America at some point. I don't know. And usually my planner self would have been on top of it, but there's aspects of self that I just have to let go of. And
I
that's
love
been a
that.
part of it, like coming into more of a balance with it. Just
Yeah.
it was way too much.
That's good. That's good, 'cause I'm hearing like balanced divine masculine, divine energy, your Capricorn energy with kind of like Cancer moon energy. But yeah.
Aries moon. I have Aries moon.
Oh, right. And when I said, so I was just talking about the moon being the feminine, the sun being the masculine. But
Masculine. Yeah. Okay, I see.
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so where, so you listed a few places. Where else have you been?
So after Peru, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, Bali, Vietnam, then back to Bali, Greece, Athens, and oh, Italy. Italy was in there. Italy before Thailand. And after Bali, Athens, Greece. Now I'm in Istanbul, Turkey. And I'm headed to Croatia next, but in another month or so.
Okay.
And that's as far as I have.
Okay. And the
Yeah.
concept, any intentions? You said just not planning, but any
Oh,
intentions to go to like Ghana or
the continent of Africa, I would love to go to, but I don't want to experience that by myself. I know it's going to be a deep, rich experience,
Yeah.
and I want to be doing it without having to work. I
Yeah.
want to allow more space and time for myself.
Yeah.
And so that's a different trip. And I think you know why.
Yeah.
So it's there. I want to go to Nigeria, Ghana, and Egypt. Those are the top three right now. I just don't want to be doing it while I'm also like balancing work. I want to have a
Yeah.
spaciousness around it.
Very wise.
And I do think that is something that I would do as a group. Like that is definitely an experience I would be like, okay, I don't think I want to do that by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny on this side to witness what that contemplation did in you. You were like, like you got a more I don't know, I just heard an intentionality, a connection. You know what I mean? Like the way that if you had a friend that was more than just an associate and you wanted to be like so intentional about how you spent that time with that friend, I like hearing that. And I can, there's so many reasons why I
Yeah,
can see the value in doing it that way.
it's a special place, and I don't want to have my first experience to be a bad one. And I think it's so easy. Like, for example, Portugal. I went to Portugal. I backpacked around Europe after university. And Portugal was one of our stops. We spent like maybe a week. I hated it. I thought I was gonna love it. I hated it.
I heard that.
This was in 2005. And it had nothing to do with Portugal itself. It was the experience that I had at that time with the people and my own approach to travel or my own naiveness around, the history and a lot of other things to like, that was my first time. I was traveling with a friend, but still, it's like my first travel experience. And yeah, but it's still till this day. I'm like, if someone's like, let's go to Portugal, it's because I had a bad experience. And I do think I owe Portugal another try. So again, it's nothing against the country, but I do think we can have positive and negative experiences, and then that shades the whole, for many years to come. So like, I want to like make sure that I treat it with a lot of intention, that I do have, I'll have whatever experience I need to have, yes, but I also want it to be a positive one too. So it's not something that I'm just gonna do lightly.
Good. I love
Just
it.
because I know that your first it could ruin you for the rest of, like for yeah for decades.
I can see that way. So I loved my experience in Ghana studying abroad so much that it's like, even when I went to Egypt, right? It was like, oh, this is nice, Ghana. You know what I mean? And I've been 4 times at this point. And I wanted to go to Nigeria last summer, but it was just advised not to go at that time. Yeah, but Nigeria, because a large part of my ancestry is Nigerian, Ghanaian too, but more Nigerian than.
Mine too.
Yeah. So yeah. So yeah. So I don't know. I felt the reverence for it, and I love that you have that reverence for it. So now, as we think about, as I think about astrology, right, and think about your passion, we just touched a little bit in the beginning on why you love astrology. Can I hear a little bit more about your this passion you have?
I don't know if I mentioned when I first got introduced to astrology. So I was, 15 years old, and I was like feeling again, like, how am I part of this family? I'm very quiet and sensitive, empathic, and I'm in like a lot of loud Jamaican, huge, like I have a huge extended family, and you probably know how that goes. And amazing people. I love my family. But I didn't feel connected. And I found an astrology book in my school's library. And it was like sun sign astrology, like it's a basic form of astrology. And because of my birthday is January 20th, it's, I didn't know what a cusp was or if it was a real thing, but back then it said I was an Aquarius, and it said all these, and that's the archetype of Aquarius too, not to feel like they belong. And so it just spoke to me, and I was like, I'm understood. How am I so understood by this system, this ancient system? And I just don't feel understood by the people that birthed me. And it was just it does something to your mind.
It
And
does, it does.
I was hooked. I was
Yeah.
hooked since
Can I even
that.
say too, just even hearing,
Yeah.
I'm an Aquarius moon,
Yeah.
and you saying that and thinking about our conversation just earlier, I'm like, oh, right, that's why. So just I'm just affirming that, like how affirming it could be, because now even hearing that just now this morning, I'm like, oh, because I know much about Aquarius, but I never heard about that part about the not belonging or whatever. So it is so affirming. Sorry to interrupt though.
It's very much part of, because if part of their archetype too is to be a leadership in that new innovative way, to do things differently, to be the rebel, to cause change, to be disruptive. And if you belong and everything's cozy and good, why would you disrupt that?
Right.
Right. And so it's like, oh, it all makes sense why
Yeah.
you would be born with a moon like that. Or for me, so it wasn't until I got my chart actually done. You know, I was in my 20s until I got my chart done. And I'm actually a Capricorn
Okay.
sun, 29 degrees of Capricorn, but I am Aquarius rising. So that
Okay.
archetype is still a really important piece of my natal chart. So yeah, and by other things, I was probably an Aquarius sun for most of that time period anyway, because the planets keep moving. So yeah, it just really spoke to me, and I didn't start to take actual lessons because I'm trained and as an astrologer, like I studied, and I didn't start that until after my Saturn return, my first Saturn return. And I don't know if your audience knows about the Saturn return. It's pretty popular nowadays, but I'll just explain quickly.
Yeah, because I think this is popular with the younger generation.
Yeah.
It's so common language with people like 30 and under. Yeah, because you know my Saturn return and my
Yeah,
Pluto. Like,
but who knows who's listening? So let me quickly
yes.
explain. So Saturn is a planet that we all have somewhere in our chart that speaks of limitations. It speaks of maturation. It speaks of adulting. And so it's like the hard stuff of like being in physical embodiment in the world. Like that's Saturn. And I love Saturn. Saturn's a great planetary body because of the energy of helping you get through challenges. Because if you have a Saturn, you can get through some of those hard things. And so every 28 to 30 years, Saturn makes its way back to the place where it was in your natal chart. And we call that your Saturn return. So you live a long life, you get two Saturn returns. One around like 20, 28, 29, 30, the next one around 58, 59, 60. And if you really live long, long life, you'll get one, you know, in your 90s, but we'll, you know, but who, we'll see. So definitely most people right now have first and second Saturn return. So the first one is, you know, towards the end of your 20s, and most of us, the 20s is a time of life when we're like, I could be anything. The world's my oyster. That's, you know, when you go to university and you're studying interesting things, you're meeting new people, but Saturn comes around and you're like, okay, life isn't so open, endless possibilities. You realize that you're good at certain things and you're not good at other things. So life becomes more restricted. Like you choose a path to go down. And one could say it's never too late, but you know, if you wanted to be an Olympic gymnast, you kind of had to start training from when you're little, right? There's certain things where, yeah, you just either have talent in it or you don't. And Saturn is that very sobering planetary energy. And so usually that time you're making a lot of big decisions around your career, around marriage. A lot of people get married around that time. Maybe you're having the first birth of a child. So a lot of these like real adult things. And so for me, I decided that I was no longer going to continue my career in global health and international development. So that was my Saturn return. And I had mine in my 10th house of career. So it just made a lot of sense. And just a lot of power dynamic issues that I had to face and deal with around that time made me make different choices in my life. And so I don't know. I like to say I'm still, it was a big deal in my life. And so I would, even though it's been many years now, I'm in my early 40s. You know, it was a really impactful Saturn return for me. And there are other people who have Saturn returns, and it's like when they've reached a pinnacle point in their career. And so the Saturn return is not always bad, but for a lot of people, it is a hard time. It is very challenging, but it also could be a point of a lot of recognition. Just depending on your chart.
I would love to. I didn't know what house mine was in, but at 28, 29, I left my first marriage. And I think it would probably, on the outside, it may look like abrupt, but a woman never just leaves. A woman is like calculating and like, can I do this? Can I not? Am I, So I left at 28 and started my doctoral program the same year. And those are huge things that fall right under. And I
Just
knew
add
anything
returns.
about Saturn returns at that time, but it was manifesting in my life anyway. So, and I actually even moved from Long Island to Queens. I mean, that was probably because where I was going to school too in the Bronx. But it's a big shift, kind of. You know what I mean? Considering the close, more proximity to my family, and
And one of the words that go along with Saturn is commitment. And so you committed. And so it's a time either you commit or you uncommit to those things, So you uncommitted to a marriage, but you committed to your education, your doctoral degree. And that's not a light thing. That's very Saturnian to be able to stick to education for over the year. That's a big deal.
And it makes sense too, because I also committed to my son. My son was like 2 at the time, right? So there was this commit. I had to commit to saying it's you and me, and I'm gonna, you know what I mean? Like I had a recognition, like I changed your life drastically, so it's important to me to make sure that you're okay, and my baby's in college now, so he's okay.
And it kind of provides this structure for the next 30 years until we get to that late 50s, early 60s, where that structure gets demolished again and we get to rethink which structures are leaving. And which structures do we continue? So yeah, and then it's like, okay, so I'm really excited. I'm getting super excited about that 5860, that second time return.
That's so
I'm
funny.
working with, yeah, because I'm just like, it's so exciting because it's like about your legacy. It's like, because you may not have as much time forward as behind. So you really making those big choices for like what do you want to leave behind? Like how do you want to really like you have kids, your kids all grown up, they're doing their thing. Now what do you want? So it's there's more selfishness too with that second sound return. So I'm excited.
That's good. That's good. It's exciting to me too. Also, you don't look in your 40s. I did not know. I thought I was like significantly older than you. That's a lot to be like
Thank you.
happy about.
It's the Aries. I say it's the Aries moon. It keeps me on.
So how do people, so you do one-on-one readings still? How do people get in touch with you? We'll put the in the description box, but I don't know if you want to share more.
On my website, stacyandforster.com, you'll see how you can work with me. I have just single one-on-one consultations, and then I have more longer term consultations for people who are going through like major change, major growth, and they want to have regular contact with an astrologer. One of the things that I noticed when I was seeking astrological support was like I would see an astrologer and then that was it, just one consultation. And so having the ability to offer a service where people can work with me over a period of time has always been something that I wanted to create, and now I've done it. And it's different from how I know many astrologers do work, but that's my Aquarius rising too.
I like it. I
I
like
have to be different.
it. So how would they, so when you say over time, would they see you like every 3 months, or like how would that work?
So there are different services. The one that's my most popular one right now is called Illuminate, and that's it's working with me over 3 months. But we do like five sessions over that 3 months, so we space it out. But yeah.
I like it. I like it. I like that you're doing it different, and that people, you know what I've found too, that the more connected I get to my, well, to my center, right, and my own spirituality, the more I am internally guided, right? And they it's said that we are stardust, right? And so the stars, the galaxies, the planets, all of it lives within us. So I'll find myself doing things and then later hear like, oh, the moon is in Taurus. I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense, right? You know, so meaning like, but it's because of my connectedness to myself and that you have that internal, I guess, compass or guide that is aligned with the planets, with the stars and different things like that, that you have that guidance. Yeah, and still I really enjoy then hearing like, oh, well, of course, Mercury is in retrograde. You know what I mean? And the lesser popular ones, because now Mercury and retrograde is pretty popularly known, you know? So yes, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
And I totally agree. I think whether we believe in, because I don't know if it's a belief system, well, could be. Whether or not you believe in astrology, it works. Like there, we're connected to each other, we're connected to the earth, we're connected to the planets, like we're all connected. And astrology just is like the perfect framework to show us that how much we are connected to everything. And so it like it of course, like if you when I'm not surprised when I read someone's chart who is very centered and who's very, and they're not surprised. They're just not, because of course. I always tell people, like, you are the expert on you. I just know the astrology. So yeah, like I that makes sense to me that you would feel like, oh yeah, of course.
You know what, too? I think because there was a point in time in the conversation here, I was thinking, like, wow, you left the hard sciences. Like, what was that? Because, and I say this, and then I'll say that, I'll finish that thought. But what then occurred to me, I was like, astrology is a hard science, too. And so we don't remember, it's reduced to junk science in a colonized world, right? But we don't remember that it was so pivotal in our understandings and our way of beings, in our the way it guided our life in ancient Kemet and many civilizations thereafter. So I want to praise what it is because I know what it is to be like going to school and the sciences, trained in the sciences and having those jobs. And how you're like enculturated into thinking evidence-based. Where's your proof? Where's your that? Where's your this? Where you, and security and whatever. So I want to praise the fact that you were just like, okay, I'm done with that, you know? Because I know that that becomes an identity is what I'm also getting at, and the fact that you were able to shed that. So I know when I left academia, well, the irony is that I never intended. I always intended, but I was the first husband. He was in economics, and I was, social work, psychology. And he was Ghanaian, and so our intention was to go back to Ghana and do work throughout the continent, right, of Africa, right. And so when that didn't work, I was already in the my first year. I got accepted into the program after the marriage ended, and so my whole landscape changed. And so I didn't. I know I wasn't going to do UN by myself with a child. And I didn't know what was next. And then I ended up in the academia. It was the first set of people that called me back, and I ended up in academia. And then somehow I formed an academic identity where, it's like, well, what does this doctor even mean? Because I wasn't a clinical psychologist. What does this doctor even mean outside of academia? Like, where is my space? And all those kinds of things. And so the year leading up to my leaving, I mean, the thing about academia is that, like, if it was another job, I would have put in my 2 weeks' notice or 4 weeks' notice. But in academia, you have to like finish out the semester or two of the academic year. And so, in that time, I had the opportunity to really reconfigure my identity and shed this notion that any of that even matters, right? I had never believed that that was me. That psychology is what I do, is what I love. It is a passion, but that's not the totality of who I am. So I had to shed that, right? And so I say that just to say that, I imagine you had to shed
Me
that
too.
too.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. And I'm still working on it. I'm still working through it. And there's different, we could talk about this on different layers, because I do think identity is also protective. Especially as a woman, especially as a Black woman, to be known as knowledgeable, smart. I went to an Ivy League university, like all of that stuff that that Western culture says is important. You know, like I have that. And to choose something from my heart that's more in alignment with my heart. And it's in something where it comes with a lot of projection, a lot of like people don't know what I do. Like honestly, sometimes like I like to tell people like I know astrology is popular, but it's like popular online. I don't know if it's popular like in the real world. I still like when I meet people, I tell them I'm astrologer, and they're like, "What do you do? Or you're an astronomer?" So, you know, so I'm always humbled by that fact. Like, yeah, there's still it's still not prevalent for people to see someone like me in the real world. Like maybe they come across something online, but still like, oh, I didn't know that's a thing. So yeah, it's a hard one. It's definitely a hard one when that identity did protect me a little bit from a lot of things in the US and probably traveling too. So to trust that you know I'm gonna do this thing anyway. I know you know it's a big deal, and it's still you could see I'm still it's still processing. So I'm not making a clear sentence
No,
about
I'm
my
following
experience
them.
with it, but I am going through a big identity shift. And I told you like the transit of Pluto on my sun, the sun being your identity. It's a transit I'm experiencing on a very visceral way, in a very real way. And I'm just happy that I get to do it while I'm traveling. Because travel, you do get to, you know, be more fluid with who you are because no one cares. People are like, you know, so yeah, it's definitely a big deal. And one of the things that I'm still working through is the projection piece. When people think like, you know, maybe astrology is like just like fortune telling or there's some like nefarious thing behind it. It's not real or because integrity is so important to me. So important. And that's also a big reason why I'm an astrologer who was trained by other, you know, other people because I wanted to make sure that like I have ethics training. I know how to do a consultation. I know the various techniques, and I came up to a level. I went through those paces because I didn't want someone to say that I'm acting out of integrity, even though I know that's just their opinion or whatever. But that's still something that I'm working with because I do want to be seen as very capable, very serious, Capricorn word. So yeah, I'm still struggling with it, and I'm only 6 years in being a professional astrologer, so I have more time to go. I'm a baby astrologer,
Well,
as
I
they
love, I mean, the whole
teacher would say.
podcast is about liberation journeys, right? So I love to see that it's not one, it's not always neat. Like, oh no, I'm here, this container, here, this container, here. It's messy. In some ways I'm more liberated,
Messy.
some ways I'm still continuing to work on, or I mean, because I think you're still, even if you're having this thinking through and this shedding of that identity, to me, that is so praiseworthy for the simple fact that a lot of people are not even thinking about it. A lot of people are like, nine to five is safe. I'm gonna go ahead and stay here. Right. And so I think it's a beautiful thing. And it also just it really exemplifies for the audience that it's a journey. Like it's not like you just take it off one day and you don't have it. It's like, you know, I have to keep recommitting and unlearning and relearning and all those kinds of things to be able to be aligned with your core in those ways and to, you know, live liberated.
And just a constant recommitment to what you're standing for, what your intentions are. Absolutely. And I do think it gets easier. And you know, but that middle, and this is it's kind of funny, but not funny. But this is basically what most of my clients are going through. They're
Yeah.
going through like those changes of like who they were and not yet seeing who they're becoming. And so
Yeah.
that middle piece, that's where I like to work because it's messy. That's where all the good stuff is too,
Yeah.
the juicy stuff. And that's also where you find your power.
Yes.
That's where you find your courage.
Yeah.
You know, and so like I'm going through what a lot of my clients are going through. I may be just a few steps ahead, or I'm able to see because what they can't see because they're in it, you know, just like I'm in my stuff. So I always rely on other people to support me and see what I can't see. Because I do think a part of this is not, you don't go through it by yourself. Like
Yeah.
we need other people. Again, that mirror, we need the mirror, whether it's astrology and working with other people. Like there's certain things we just have blind spots to.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
You know, and I'll say too what I'm hearing, and that is this value for process, right? So it's anti-capitalist and it's decolonial to not just think about the outcome and what's the end product. What you're saying is like, no, I'm really valuing and loving process, the being in the thick of it. I learned that most when I was in my doctoral program, 6 years for me. And so for there was such a fight to get to a literal, there was like a fight to get to the end. But in me, it was like, you know, when I can't wait to get to the end. I can't wait. Oh my God, this is horrible. I can't wait to get to the end. This is a, you know, I can't wait to get to the end, right? And then when I got to the end, it was so anticlimactic. I was like,
Right.
this is it, it's over.
Yeah,
And
right.
now, even 10 years later, I'm still feeling, you know, I still look back and I was like, it's in the making that is so beautiful. It's in those
Right.
times where I was finding myself, my rhythm, my, you know, all those kinds of things that really was the most beautiful of times. And we miss a lot if we loathe those times, if we loathe the messiness,
Right.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people who don't like the process and they do wanna like they want something fixed right away, like here, fix it for in I don't know. I don't get those kinds of people coming to work with me, but I know that is a place where, you know, we can find ourselves in too. And for certain things, it's okay. I'm open to all different kinds of experiences, but I love what you said, and that's just a great reflection back to me that I value process. And
Yeah.
I agree. I do. I do.
I have worked with people, particularly in the days when I worked with mandated clients, where like maybe they were experiencing challenges with their children and it was like, here, fix it. Or, you know, or even if they came in for like therapy and it's like, come on, come on, can we get to the end? Can we resolve this? I always know that their medicine is to slow it down, right? Because they've so internalized this capitalistic pace that they everything had now, the immediacy, whereas you know their answer lies in the mindfulness and the slowed pace and different things like that. So thank you, this was a great conversation. Is
I
there
loved it.
anything, yeah, right, is there anything that you'd want to say to the audience?
Ah, that's a great question. Please come and say hi. I do also have a YouTube channel, so if you wanted to say hi to me over there. And I'm on the social medias too. But yeah, I love connection. I love hearing from people. So yeah, do send me a line if you're curious about what I do. Definitely go to my website at stacyandforrester.com.
Good, thank you. And we'll put all that information in the description box. So for now, it was so great being with you all. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. And finally, again, thank you so much, Stacey Ann.
Thank you. Take care. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. If you've loved what we've had to share and want to be the first to get releases of our new episodes and learn about events, download our free app, Living Liberated, in the Apple or Google Play Store.